pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show. Hour number two is now underway. Text line 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? All you got to do is text me. Coming up here in 30 minutes, April Murray Fogle from 1819 News, my colleague at 1819 News. She'll be with us. You never can have too much. April Murray Fogle on FM Talk 106.5. Also on the program, Bradley J., another colleague of mine, one of my other jobs, Breitbart News, will be with us as well. So please stay tuned for that. Sean just sends me a text that says, boomers. Well, there you have it. Three immigration cases, or three Supreme Court cases, two immigration, one Second Amendment. Second Amendment one is strikes down a Hawaiian law that apparently prohibits concealed carry in on private property open to the public. So you can't imagine Hawaii being a very Second Amendment friendly state. And then the other two deal with asylum. The first one, if you show up at the border and you want to you claim asylum, you can't do that. The Border Patrol can turn you away now. Just, I would suppose it depends on the policy implemented by that administration in particular, but they can't do it. And then the other case, and this came up a lot 3 years ago, you had these Haitian refugees, but I think it applies to Haitian and Syrian refugees, and the Trump administration wanted to end their temporary status because they overstayed their visa. And a lower court said, "Hey, we're going to stop you. You're violating the Constitution or something." And the Supreme Court said, "No. Temporary protected status means temporary. You need to go home." What had happened is a long, long time ago. There was like a big earthquake in Haiti. You know, we accepted refugees here in the United States, and they just never left. They never got whatever it is they needed to in order to return to back home. They just sort of showed up and stayed. Remember, this was a big deal during the 24 cycle. Was it in Ohio? But the Supreme Court, it took them 2 years to rule, but they sided with the administration on this one. And then, I mean, guys, at some point, all of this lawfare was going to come to a head. Now, there's, I think the birthright citizenship case is still outstanding, and mail-in voting. But the court has ruled here. The MS Now crowd, you can just see the expressions on their face. They're apoplectic. Not happy. So that's what the news is right now. The court's striking down some of the lawfare. Here's the deal with your lawfare, guys. You on the left. You can play the game, but then you're going to force the Supreme Court to rule and set a precedent, and that's going to be the law of the land, and you can't go back to what it was. Now you can change the policy, you can change presidents. And I know, like, some of you are probably thinking, well, here's what would happen, guys, if the – sure, Trump can send these guys back, but we'll elect a Democrat and we'll let him back in. Well, here's what will happen. You're going to have another Republican president – come in and say, nope, got to go back. And at some point, this going back and forth thing is just not going to We're finally getting a handle on something that's been going on in this country since the 86 Simpson-Mazzoli Act. That they were going to enforce the border, they just never did. And they granted amnesty to all of these illegal aliens, and we're going to start from scratch, and everything's going to be okay. But they never shored up the border. So this, like I said, sure, you may have a Democrat in 2029 in the White House, and that Democrat may open the border back up. But almost as sure as I'm speaking here, you're going to have a Republican president who's just going to close it back down and send these people back. And it's just not going to work this way. Terry, it takes time to research candidates to decide who I'm going to vote for. I know I'm going to vote, but I haven't had time to figure it out yet. So I haven't given all the other things competing for my time. Well, Terry, I think like you actually are undecided. There are people who never make up their minds. They just don't go vote. We have this. I think when you survey people, the idea of going to vote sounds good to them. So they're going to say yes. And it's skewing these surveys. The polling in the state is bad. Like, they don't know this. These pollsters don't understand the dynamics of the state and what drives turnout in some places and not others. They just put a template on it that works in other states. It's cookie cutter. They base it off of historical data, but the historical data in Alabama is erratic. You have high turnout in some elections and low turnout in others. And it's unpredictable. So when you're polling it and you say, well, we think because this was the turnout we had in the last election or that election cycle before it, we're going to get that turnout here. And that skews the numbers, especially when you had a candidate like Jared Hudson, who was just very, very popular in the most populated area of the state. So if you all of a sudden you assume you have, say they were operating on 15% turnout, let's just say that was what their models had. Seems reasonable. 15% turnout. But you only get 10%. Well, then that's going to impact the raw vote totals in the more populated areas where one candidate is doing better than the other candidate. So you can't operate on these assumptions like that. And I think that's what distorts the top line numbers in these polls, these surveys, is that we think we have X amount of voters in Birmingham, but you really just have Y amount of voters, and everything else is relative. And the state goes, it goes the more rural vote with Barry Moore. Ultra Runner, Republican apathy so far this cycle has been explained by my neighbor's sentiment last week. He said, I'm good either way, keeping my powder dry. Don't you think the casual Republican voter will come out big time when there's a crazy Democrat to vote against? I do. I think you'll see turnout higher in a general election. We've nationalized our politics, and you know, Election Day is the same Election Day for everybody in November. And there'll be a lot of national media talking about voting. There's a disconnect with the public here in Alabama, and we just don't have a lot of great local media. And you're talking to a guy who does a lot of local media. 1819 News and this radio show. And a column, by the way, created the Call News, the Trussell Tribune, the Sand Mountain Reporter. I think Washington County, Jackson County. Anyway, it's in a number of different newspapers around the state. But I'm going to be first tell you that stuff I do doesn't reach everybody. And in some cases, they may see the campaign signs littering the landscape, but they don't make the connection of what day it is. It's just not something people talk about. Haywood, the muddy water to make it seem, they muddy water to make it seem deep. Martin, the Democrats can't win on the issues, so the only possible way is with lies, theatrics, maybe even a technicality. A lot of technicality there. DI Texter, tell Gray to send me the info on his Florida land. Mike, the harder left Robin the Nappy Boys go, the better it looks for you when y'all parted ways. He could say they're just calling balls and strikes, but it's beyond obvious they're making a mobile version of Democrat propaganda like AL.com. A named Texter claiming 2018 for his residency is an unforced error, and they should admit it rather than tell the public one thing while their recorded arguments say another. John Gray is either wrong or lying. No one has claimed his permanent residence until March 2019. His own lawyers claimed 2018 and used his tax returns beginning in August 2018 to try to prove it. Verbatim from the rebuttal attached to records show Alabama residency consistently claimed beginning no later than 2018, including Alabama income tax returns listing his Auburn residence address and other documents confirming his connection to. But, I mean, we could argue that point, but it falls within the 7-year window. It's 2026. When does the clock start? The clock starts, or the clock starts from the point he takes the oath of office. I mean, if you want to argue this point, we could argue, is it good to have a guy come into Alabama and run for Senate and then governor? Fine. But does he meet the legal standard? That's all. That's what matters here. Everything else is just a camp. And it, you know, a name texter, you say an unforced error, but guess what? The voters have already spoken. Now he's got to get through the general election against Doug Jones. Do we really think Doug Jones is going to win that race based off of this? I don't think this is a winning issue. It's fine to talk about. Jeff Sessions tried to do this when he ran against Tommy Tuberville in 2020. He ran ads. Didn't land a blow. That was way more of a question back then than it is now. Unnamed texter, conservatives shouldn't be taking time to do research on who they're voting for. My only metric is I see who is a woman and who is endorsed by BCA, and I vote for the other guy. That's mildly sexist. Terry, so is it better just not to respond to survey rather than be undecided? I mean, if you really believe you're going to show up to vote, beyond the shadow of a doubt, sure, respond. But I think a lot of people respond to the survey and they just say, yeah, I think we're going to probably vote. I always do. Yeah, sure. And then I don't really know who to vote for. I got to go pick up the kids. I don't have time for this. But you got to be kind of committed to a candidate. I think you got to have skin in the game to go vote. If you're going to go through the, it's not a hardship. But it could be an inconvenience. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. Hit us up there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
He said some things just glitter and shine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, all you do is text me. Coming up in the next segment, April Murray Fogle, so please stay tuned for that. B-Dark, Jeff, all Democrats are all Democrats are all crazy and getting worse. Rock and roll doctor. Do you believe that the U.S. Postal Service is effective in delivery of mail in a timely and cost-averse manner? No, then why would anyone trust them with their vote? Gas prices on July 4 should be $1.76 at Exxon or Chevron, some U.S. oil companies. I don't know if we get down that low. I think it's got to get to $3. It's got to get to where the price was. Well, that's diesel. It's got to get that 250 range, maybe. Really, and stay there. And stay there till November. You got to take this issue off the table. They really do. West Texas Intermediate, $71 a barrel. Dow continues to rise. NASDAQ going down. Big tech sell off. So it's just, I think if you could get, it doesn't have to be, you know, record low, but it's got to be, it's got to be to a point where we don't feel the pain at the pump. Mike writes, on the dumb technicality side, I've wondered if it says anywhere 7 consecutive years prior. Pretty sure it simply says 7 years prior. I think there's an argument to be made there. And if you're arguing about technicalities, you're losing bad. I think you could make that argument, but the Tuberville guys are not really interested in that argument. Because this is something Tuberville is doing early on. Look, I was coach at Auburn University for longer than 7 years. I've lived here. Now the argument is, did he cede that residency, that resident citizenship? Did he surrender it? Was he a dual citizen of other states? You know, you have dual citizenship. Well, he went to go coach at Texas Tech, Cincinnati, and then apparently was an ESPN analyst, or a college football analyst for a while. And it's like the overwhelming thing here is this is who Republican voters put on the ballot and voted for. He survived ballot challenge, and he survived a challenge after he had won the election. I'm not saying that it makes him immune to these questions, but I think it makes the question a little more. Do you really want to take the will of the voters away based on this kind of nebulous, vague interpretation of the Alabama Constitution? Is that really what we're going to do here? We're going to cancel out an overwhelming statement from the voters based on something that could be seen a million different ways? Is that smart? When I hear conservatives, this is from Walter Rutter, when I hear conservatives tout the benefits of the housing bill, I feel transported to a parallel universe where everyone else has gone mad with government interventions more efficient than the free market. We can't, the government does dictate to whom I can sell my house. How are we not just screwing middle-class homeowners here? As we ride the wave of unmoored populism, where have the conservatives gone? Yeah, as a general principle, when the government does get involved, it impacts the market in a negative way. There's unintended consequences. What the government can do is ease some restrictions, down to Georgia, maybe make it easier to borrow. Those are the kind of things you would want to see from government to ease any kind of burden on a home buyer. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Whispers to me. Carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on. Welcome back to the Jabbour Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. Still to come about an hour from now, my colleague at Breitbart News, Bradley J., talk about the Trump at the U.S. Senate yesterday, and does it mean anything? How did they react? There's a little, some of those details have leaked, but it didn't sound necessarily contentious, but we'll see. Joining us now, however, we do this every Thursday from 1819 News, my colleague there, April Marie Fogle, is on the line. April Marie, how are you?
Doing well this morning.
Hey, tell us, how's the Birmingham radio circuit?
It's actually going really well. It's funny because yesterday morning I was like, how do I get the call? I don't have access to the text line. I was like, how do I get people to call in? Well, they were like, well, everybody just kind of texts now. I ended up talking about the New York elections, and the phones blew up with people just wanting to weigh in on the state of the Democrats' party. And I'm a strong firm believer. I have every intention of asking Doug Jones where he is on these elections, because I think we should ask every Democrat running in the midterms.
Yeah, because I you know, there's enthusiasm there. Now, look, I don't think that enthusiasm translates nationally necessarily in the Democratic Party, but it is more prevalent in New York City, and it's a trend nationally, and it's going to catch up with New York City, I think.
Well, in New York City, you've got, you know, now they've elected three crazies, and some of the things these women have said is vile. One of them talking about understanding and sympathizing with the 9/11 terrorists, just very, very crazy stuff they're saying. You got the dude in Texas saying he's a Christian who hates Christianity and apologizing for being a white dude, and then everything going on in California. The state of the Democratic Party is laughable at this point, and I think every Democrat, including Doug Jones and anybody on the ticket here, Inslee, they all have to answer for where they stand on these. The dude with a Nazi tattoo who is accused of beating up ex-girlfriends. This is the party. This is who they've become.
They're going to have to own it, but there's some beating people who are just solely, like, just dedicated, right, to this cause, and then they're not going to part ways with it, I don't think, regardless of what the crazy things that have been said by these candidates. It's the Democrats are finally having their civil war.
And much needed, because, you know, up till now, you couldn't get a Democrat, you know, look, clearly there are Democrats in the South who do not believe a man can become a woman, but they were very quiet about it. I mean, Fetterman stood up yesterday and said, where's the rest of the Democrat U.S. senators on these elections? But other than him, there seems to be no one willing to say this is bad for us. And I'm hoping that this comes back to bite him.
I think it will. It may take. They're going to have a good night November 3rd, no matter what. But when they start having their presidential primary, and they really have an arena of ideas, and they have to talk about this. They have to do it in public settings and these debates. And I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in the media that are going to be hosting these debates. But I do think it's going to be a race to the left, and this time, the left is just way, way far out here, out of the mainstream. And that's going to be an issue for Democrats to overcome once they do have a nominee.
Exactly right. I think we knew who their crazy candidates were when they had, you know, when they put them up. You could listen and be like, Bernie's too extreme on these things. Or do you remember Alan Grayson down in Orlando? Now the squad, before, they haven't really had to own their crazies, and now their crazies are their most outspoken.
Right.
They're not seen as fringe.
Well, if you go to a Democrat national convention and you get a good depiction of what a Democrat is, or at least the sort of like enthusiasm, the people who, you know, give money, put signs out in their yard, the activists, they're wild-eyed radicals. I mean, they are not the kitchen table issues Democrats would like to present themselves as. They really do believe in the everybody, I think it's overused the word woke, but they really do believe in this woke agenda.
Yeah. And I think that puts people like Doug Jones, who at least in public is, you know, oh, I'm a little bit more moderate. I want to bring everybody together. The right's too extreme. How do you run on that platform? When, how do you say that's who you are when what you're, you still have to kowtow to your party, who is so far over left? And so I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, if they keep this up, and if people open their eyes to it, this isn't what even mainstream Southeastern Democrats like. You look at places that are a little bit more purple, it's too extreme for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some social conservatism in ranks of Democrats, a reliable traditional Democrat voters in the South. And I think this new sort of cultural agenda that is invested the Democratic Party contradicts a lot of these long-held standards and beliefs. It's going to cost them an election.
Yeah, I think it really can. And it should put, you know, we had to, every candidate, if you were a Republican, you had to run on, what about Trump saying this? What about January 6th that? What, you know, the Democrats in the mainstream media did this to Republican candidates for the last, you know, 8 to 10 years. Okay, well, let's turn around. Look at what your candidates are saying now. And that goes for California, for Texas, for New York. Make every single one of them answer for it.
Joined by April Murray Fogle, 1819 News here on the program. I think this issue is done. I think that they're not going to win here. But the Tommy Tuberville residency question. Now, listen, if you don't think a guy who's only been here 8-9 years, whatever it is, technically, should be governor, fine, don't vote for him. But trying to get him taken off the ballot, trying to do an end around here, to me, the party has spoken. They're not interested in this, and they voted unanimously. And then it becomes a question, well, and this has always been it, April Marie. We know he can run for governor. There's court cases and there's legal precedent there. Question will be, in January, when he is sworn in, can he be governor? And that's not a court question. This Tommy Tuberville residency stuff, I think, is running out of steam here.
I don't think it ever had steam. I think it was something, you know, we talk about as pundits, but people around their kitchen table, with the exception of, you know, half a dozen individuals, several of them with their own personal agenda, I don't think it's an issue. This is one of those, every time I see it, I kind of roll my eyes, because there's just no way that Tuberville, who has surrounded himself with people who want him to succeed, would have led him down a path he can't actually go down. It seems just incomprehensible to me that, you know, that anybody believes that he can't, and that he has had all the best attorneys in the world look at this, or, you know, at least in the state. And so I really think I would love for it to go away. But the people who are making it stay, they're either profiting for it or just getting their 15 minutes or whatever.
Well,
it is,
you know what?
Groceries paid for.
Let me revise my statement now that I think about it. Go ahead. If you think you can win on this, try. You're going to get beat. You're going to lose. You got to take a bunch of L's here. And then you can write your butthurt columns, and you can put your social media post up and go ride around on your scooter or whatever you're doing. And fine, if that makes you feel good. But it's not a, I'm just to say this, it's not a winning mission here.
Nor is it a, and as you kind of alluded to, it's not a serious mission, right? Like, what, this has been discussed, and they've got the documents, they have the things. You know, there might be some legitimacy to the 2018 vote, but that's more of a Florida problem than an Alabama problem. And so I genuinely think this is grasping at straws, and, you know, a whole bunch of wishing upon a star. It's very reminiscent of the, you know, the KIV is going to drop out at some point. You just got a handful of people who will let it go.
Yeah, but I just, as far as it goes legally, they're not doing their homework here, their due diligence, when they raise this issue. The courts don't determine ballot challenges. They don't determine ballot access. What?
Right.
And that's just, you know, it becomes a question. If Tommy Tuberville wins, and I think he will, the election, then is he is he eligible to be governor, or do we have to do something here? And it's sort of like this woman in Montgomery who had served on the Montgomery City Council, and for 2 years, she didn't live in the district. And then when the city council got wind of that, they realized that they took her off the council. They removed her. So what would happen if we get to January and it is determined that Tommy Tuberville does not meet the qualifications? Is it the legislature just to make that determination? Do we think in Alabama, with a Republican supermajority, when Nathaniel Ledbetter is the speaker, is going to turn his back on Tommy Tuberville and they're going to put John Wall in the governor's mansion?
Definitely not. I think it is it's pure insanity. And like we said, people just wasting their time, a whole lot of, you know, what a coulda, shoulda, this might happen. It's so crazy. They're just beyond pundits and a couple columnists. This is not an issue that, you know, Republican voters are really concerned about.
Well, and I'll say this. I mean, I you know, sure, we could explore the discussion and talk about it. But I feel like we've kind of already come to a conclusion on it. And now they're trying to squeeze some more juice out of this. And there's no juice to be had. It's not, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's no there. There's no, you know, this is still pending. I feel like the party, the way that the party addressed it, they, you know, they put him under oath. They had the meeting. They reviewed, you know, financial records and these records and that records. And that's where we are. The question has been answered and satisfied multiple ways and multiple times.
Right. And but we'll continue to block and tackle on it. I find it. I don't know. Like I said, it's very opportunistic by some to try to make this an issue. It's just not going to, guys, not going to happen.
No, there is no gotcha at the end of this rainbow, so far as I can tell.
But here's something, you'll bounce this off of you. Tommy Tuberville overwhelmingly won the Republican primary, right?
Oh, absolutely. Not only did he win, you have people like Will Ainsworth saying it's not even worth it to run.
Yeah, and so we're at this point where the voters have spoken. Now, look, the voters could be wrong, but let's just put that there, that overwhelmingly it wasn't close. It wasn't.
He didn't win by a hair. He won it outright decisively.
So let's go to this next question then. We're arguing kind of we're in technicality land. It's nebulous. It's vague. What is what? You are going to use this sort of vague legal reasoning. Maybe it's valid. Maybe it's not. To override the overwhelming majority of Alabama Republican voters and what will be a majority, maybe not quite as overwhelming, but will certainly be a majority in November. To remove somebody on technicality because you can't win an election.
Well, and that's just it. Is they can't win an election. They don't like the choice, and they can't beat us at the ballot box. So, you know, we'll get the courts. The other thing is we don't have activist courts. We don't have a legislature that's open to hearing this nonsense. And so, they're chasing their tails. And the question is why? Because they have to know by now they can't win.
What do you think it would look like? Let's play this out. Okay, we get to January. Tommy Tuberville is sworn in as governor. The legislature, somebody challenges it, somehow gets to the floor of the legislature. And if any Republican lawmaker were to say, yes, I think we need to take Tommy Tuberville out of that office, how do you think that's going to go for that member?
Oh, not even a little bit, not even at all. Not even be entertained. So it is a whole lot of
wish casting is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. One more thing here. Supreme Court decisions. You were around for Haitian mania, right?
I was not around for that. I was actually just trying to catch up on it based on 18-19 conversations.
Well, Haitian mania, and we had, this fear that Haitians were coming to Alabama and we're going to overwhelm our population and eat our dogs and cats. But As it turns out, the Trump administration, now that's in power, can take the end the temporary protective status for these migrants. And, you know, there were some people who were in the state who were profiting off of that. They were using them as labor. They may have been very good citizens, but here's the deal. You overstayed your visa. You need to go home. And I think that has a lot. There's a lot there to unravel here, but that's where we are.
We've seen a lot of, just in the last, this last week, we've seen, I think this is the fourth decision related to immigration, and they're all favorable to deportation. They're all favorable. You know, we've got green card holders this week that's been ruled on and saying, yeah, if you are a green card holder and you break the law, you can do this. Now we've got Haitians. There's been a handful of these circumstances, and I think this is only going to serve to empower the Trump administration, who these lower court judges have been tying their hands. So, hopefully Holman's been, ready and waiting for these decisions, and they know exactly where they got to go to get these people.
Well, I'm hoping to move, and it's time, and there's no reason to wait around now that you have the green light. April Marie, folks will find you online. How can they do so?
Yeah, best place is 1819 News for my education stories, and then over on X, APRYLMARIE.
April Marie Fogle, ladies and gentlemen. April Marie, we appreciate it. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.